We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Acts chapter 20, and we'll consider this morning the second half of the chapter, verses 17 to 38. Acts 20, verses 17 to 38. So here today we have Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. It's interesting to notice that it's the only address to Christians that we have in the book of Acts. The other sermons that are preached are sermons preached to evangelistic sermons, to Jewish audiences or to Gentile audiences, and the other addresses are Paul defending himself before the Jewish Sanhedrin or before the Roman governors. So this is a sermon basically to Christians. And that makes it unique in itself. It's packed full of good teaching. And of course, there's many parallels between the teaching that we have in this section and the teaching that you get later on in the epistles, Paul's epistles to the Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, etc. Paul is on a journey going from Corinth to Jerusalem. He wants to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost, and so he's on a ship, bypasses Ephesus, stops off at a port, the port of Miletus, which is about 30 miles from Ephesus. They're there for a few days, and so he sends to Ephesus for the leaders of the church to come to him so that he can give to them some final exhortations. He's aware that it's the last time he will see these people. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus. A large church had been built. A great work had been done. But he wants to give some final words of counsel and advice to the leaders of the church before he passes on. So it's a very interesting and important sermon. The first thing I want you to notice is that Paul looks backward and looks back in his life and speaks about his past faithfulness. And then he looks ahead at his future determination. And then he considers the present, and so he addresses words of warning and challenge to the elders of Ephesus. So first of all, we have him looking back. Verse 18, "You know that from the first day that I came into Asia, to Ephesus, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind." It's interesting that Paul thought of himself as somebody who was serving the Lord. He didn't think of himself as a master, a ruler, an overlord, but as a servant, a slave. That's what we are as ministers. We're servants. That's what we're to be as elders. Servants to the flock. Indeed, that's what we're to be as Christians. Our attitude should be one of service rather than one of my rights. We hear so much today about rights. Women's rights. Homosexual rights. Rights of this group. Rights of that group. The Bible doesn't talk about rights, it talks about responsibilities, duties. God is the one who has all the rights. Essentially, we have no rights. None of us have rights. We're just sinners who need a Savior. We're just poor beggars who need God. We have no rights. What we should be concentrating on is what I should do, what my job is, what my area of service is. We are to be servants. The great apostle Paul thought of himself as somebody who served the people of Ephesus, who served the church, a servant. And he says, with all, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. There's nothing more natural than pride. We all are proud of ourselves in one way or another. And we maybe have very little to be proud of, but it's no problem for us to find something to be proud of. We all have that natural pride. Me, myself, my achievements, what I did, what I haven't done, what I'm like. We all find something that we're proud of, and yet pride is the one thing that makes us so obnoxious to God. Because all glory is to be given to God. He's the one to be honoured, worshipped, adored. And you and I are to have humility before him. And humility before one another. Respecting others more than ourselves. Looking up to others. Preferring others rather than ourselves. With humility of mind, he says, and with many tears. Tears. Because of his earnestness, his concern, his love, his compassion. He wanted people to know the gospel. He wanted to help people. He wanted people to be saved. He was so earnest. He wasn't ashamed to shed tears of compassion and concern for people. Seldom today that you see a minister shedding tears. Seldom that you see people weeping over others, the souls of others. But yet we should have that compassion and concern and real love, because these matters are so important. If a person dies unconverted, they're lost forever. They're in hell forever. What compassion, what concern we should have for people that they might be saved and escape from the wrath to come. God in his great love has given us a Saviour. God himself became our Saviour. He became man to save us. Came into this world and died for us. He did so much for us in his love. And if we despise Christ, if we despise God's love, then we will perish forever in hell. And that's why we're to be so concerned, even with tears, pleading with people that they would trust in Christ and receive Jesus as their Saviour, believe in him and flee from the wrath to come. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul was constantly facing opposition from the Jews. He himself had been a persecutor of the Christian church and then was converted. But those who weren't converted, those Jews who weren't converted, they persecuted him. They hated him because his teaching undermined their position. He was explaining the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. They thought they knew the Bible, and yet when they came face to face with Paul, he showed them that they didn't know the Bible, that they didn't understand the Old Testament. And he was showing them and proving to them that Jesus, whom they had crucified, was the Messiah, the Saviour that God appointed. And the only way they could deal with him was by trying to kill him. And they were constantly plotting to kill him. And so Paul was always on his guard. He had all these trials, temptations which befell him because of the lying in wait of the Jews, the hostility of the Jews, trying to destroy him. But he says, verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Just remember, Ephesians, I didn't keep back anything that would be helpful for you. Whatever people would think, whatever difficulties I might confront, whatever opposition the Jews might bring to bear on me, I spoke the truth, I spoke the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, I told you everything that would be profitable, that would be beneficial. I didn't keep back anything because I was concerned for your good, whatever it would cost me. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice how he made use of every opportunity, not just on Sunday preaching, not just at a midweek meeting preaching, not just in public services preaching, but also from house to house. Going from house to house in pastoral visitation. Yes, we are to be pastors caring for the church. We're to visit homes, and indeed we have here warrant for house-to-house evangelism, not just from a pulpit, from house-to-house, reaching people where they are, using every opportunity to bring this message to them. Not just saying, well, the church is there on Sunday, people can come along if they want, and if they don't come, it's their own fault. No, but trying to reach people, trying to reach them where they are, concerned, compassionate, with tears, with earnestness, keeping back nothing, teaching you publicly and from house to house. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. That's the essence of our lives as Christians, testifying, witnessing, teaching, making known by our lives, showing that we are changed, we're not hypocrites, with a genuine article. God has done something wonderful for us. And if God has done something wonderful for us, it's so important that we make it known to others. Testifying through our lives, but not just through our lives, through our words, making known the gospel. Testifying to Jews, to Greeks, to young, to old, to rich, to poor, to educated, to uneducated, whoever they are. Two vital things: repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And essentially, that's what Christianity is all about. What is the Bible all about? It tells us what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And what is the duty that God requires of us? Repentance and faith. These two things. Repentance towards God. There is a God. That God has spoken. God has given us his law. And we are to repent of our sins because we're all sinners. And we've all broken his law. And we've all done things that we shouldn't do. Repentance. That's what's required. Turning from sin to God. Asking forgiveness. Confessing. And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a Savior. There's no true repentance without putting our faith in Christ. And there's no true believing in Jesus without repentance. Both are vital. Turning from sin to God. Turning to Christ. Away from our sins. This is what God is looking for in the lives of men and women in this world. Repentance and faith. Facing up to our lives and our failures. And receiving the gift that God has given to us. The gift of a Savior. And if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If we give up our sins and believe in Jesus, we'll be saved. Testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you repented? And have you believed? Or are you still just listening to the message, but doing nothing about it? God demands repentance, and faith. Paul's past faithfulness, telling them in the past all that they needed to know and calling them to repentance and faith. Now, in the second place, we notice Paul's future determination. Verse 22, "Behold, I go now bound in spirit, chained in spirit, to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." He was going, as it were, in chains to Jerusalem, not literal chains. He was going of his own free will. But he knew that trouble was ahead. Prophets in every city in the churches were telling him, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be chained. You're going to be put in prison. You're going to suffer. And he says, I go bound to Jerusalem. Why did he not run away? Well, he knew that it was God's duty laid upon him. God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. He was conscious that it was God's will, and whatever sufferings lay ahead, he was prepared to face that because he was aware that that was God's plan for him. So he tells the Ephesian elders, I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem. I don't know what's ahead. I know that it's suffering. The Holy Spirit, through the prophets, says bonds and afflictions abide me. But verse 24, none of these things move me. I'm not bothered. I don't count my own life dear to me, so that I might finish my course with joy. I'm not troubled about the sufferings. I'm not worried even if I have put to death. My only concern is that I might finish my course with joy. What course? The course that the Lord has for him. The work that God has given him to do. That's all that matters. Lord, you gave me a commission. I want to fulfill it. You gave me a job to do. I want to do it. I don't care what's ahead. By God's grace, I'll face the future. With God's help, I'll do it. Paul didn't actually die at Jerusalem. He went as a prisoner from Jerusalem to Rome. It was God's will that he should testify before Caesar, the emperor, that he should proclaim, as it were, the gospel in the highest courts of the Roman Empire. And he did that. Attempts were made on his life in Jerusalem. The Jews tried to kill him, but they couldn't because he was immortal till his life's work was done. And so are you and I. We have a job to do. We have a life to live. We've got a time to be born and a time to die. And we're immortal till our life's work is done. The important thing is not how long or how short our life is. The important thing is to be faithful, to be steadfast and unmovable, to do the work of God, to live out our life, to testify to the gospel. This was the whole purpose of Paul's life. And what a challenge he is to us when he says these things. I don't count my life dear. You know, friends, there are people today who are suffering because they're Christians throughout the world. There are some Christians being put in prison for their faith. And there are some who are having to die. Some who are being beheaded for their faith. Nigeria, Somalia, Sudan, different countries around the world, North Korea. There are Christians, many Christians, in prison in China. Christians have suffered in Egypt, Pakistan, Central African Republic, Burkina Faso, different countries, and they have suffered unto death. What about us? Would we die for our faith? If we had a knife put to our throat and somebody said to us, convert to Islam or die, would we accept death? Would we accept torture for Christ? By God's grace, we would. Yes, we would. With God's help, we would. And here is the Apostle Paul saying how he's prepared to face whatever is before him in Jerusalem. For the sake of Christ, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. His one concern was to make the gospel known so that sinners would be saved and men and women delivered from a lost eternity. People would find Christ and be liberated from their sins and given salvation. That was his one concern. The whole purpose of his life. And now, notice Paul's present claims. He says, I am pure of the blood of all men. Verse 26. I take you to record this day, I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've told you about the kingdom of God. I've not been ashamed to tell you about these things. I've told you Christ is the King, that you've got to receive the King, you've got to bow to Him, you've got to accept Him. I've called upon you to submit to Him. I've been a faithful watchman. Think, for example, of Ezekiel. God said to Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman for Israel. And you know, when the enemy comes, the watchman must blow the trumpet to warn people to come into the city, to escape from the raiding army. Now, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, the people can be killed. And the watchman will be held guilty before God for their blood. But if the watchman blows the trumpet and the people don't listen, well then, it's their own fault. And the watchman escapes. Ezekiel was a watchman, and so was Paul. And Paul blew the trumpet. He warned of the danger. And by God's grace, I'm a watchman too. And I've tried to warn you. And I'm clear of your blood if you end up in hell. It's because you didn't bother to listen to the watchman's trumpet. You didn't bother to listen to the gospel. I've warned you. There's a judgment day ahead. Won't be long till you die. And you will be judged. And there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you end up in hell, you end up there having been warned. I am pure of the blood of all men. No man can lay their blood to my charge. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, the message of God, the gospel of God. I have declared it to you and warned you of it. People sometimes say to me, why mention hell? Why talk about sin? Talk about things that are more positive, more encouraging, more cheerful, more joyful. And I could talk about lots of lovely things and encouraging things, but then if you ended up in hell, I would be held responsible for not having warned you. And sadly, there's too many ministers today who are stroking people on the back, patting them and saying, everything's fine. God is love. You'll go to heaven. Everything will be wonderful. And one day these people will open their eyes in hell. They've never repented. They never turned from their sins. They've never received Christ. And those watchmen who haven't warned them, they'll be in the deepest part of hell. Because the deepest part of hell is reserved for ministers who have failed to warn men and women. But Paul says, I am pure of the blood of all men. And then he says to the elders, take heed, take care of the flock. Verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Just in passing, it's interesting to notice the different words that are used here. In verse 17, they're called elders. And here in verse 28, they're called overseers. The Greek word that's translated elders is presbyteros. Presbyters, elders. And the Greek word that's for overseers is episkopoi, bishops. Elders and bishops in the New Testament are exactly the same. It wasn't until the 2nd, 3rd, 4th centuries that you got the idea of the bishop as one bishop over a whole area or region. In the New Testament, elders and bishops are the same thing. An elder is somebody who oversees, who bishops, who pastors the flock. Pastor is another idea here. The church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you. Overseers, pastors. You are shepherds of the flock. Elders are shepherds, they're bishops, and they're pastors. And they have a role in these three ways. So take heed to the flock. The flock is so special, so precious. The flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What makes the church special? It's just this, that they have been bought with the blood of Christ. A very precious sum of money. Just imagine if you were a shepherd and you bought some sheep and the sheep cost you £200 or £300 each. But then you decided to buy a new flock and they were pedigree sheep and they were costing you £10,000 each. And you'd bought this flock of sheep that cost £1 million. Would you not treasure the flock that cost you £1 million and watch over them so carefully? But friends, the sheep here have been bought at a far higher price than £1 million. They've been bought with the blood of God. The church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Take heed. Care for that flock. Every Christian is so precious because a Christian is somebody that Christ purchased. He bought for himself because all mankind are on the road to hell and they're lost and our salvation is bought for us with the blood of Jesus. And there's nothing in the whole universe, in heaven or on earth, more valuable than the blood of God. And you notice here that Jesus is God, because the blood that is spoken of here is the blood of Jesus Christ, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus is God, and Jesus gave his blood to save our souls from hell. And if Christians are bought with the blood of Christ, as they certainly are, how elders and ministers should care for them, love them, be concerned about them, realize how precious they are. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to the flock. Yourselves first, look after your own soul. Otherwise, you won't be able to look after the souls of others. And make sure to feed the flock which he has purchased with his own blood, to shepherd them. For I know that after this, after my departure, shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. The one danger that shepherds had in the Middle East at this time were wolves. Sometimes a single wolf going around, other times a pack of wolves. And they were always looking for unguarded sheep, that they might come and kill the sheep, carrying them off, devouring them. So the picture is painted here. You are shepherds of the flock in Ephesus. Be aware that grievous wolves are going round. Ravenous wolves, looking to devour the sheep of God, not sparing the flock. Be aware that there's dangers outside. These outside wolves that are looking to destroy. And also, verse 30, of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, drawing away disciples after them, drawing disciples away from Christ. So, two things. Dangers from outside, wolves, but heretics also amongst the church. People who seemed to be Christians and then departed from the faith and began to speak wrong things, bad teachings, not according to the scriptures. And of course, there's plenty around today in the church speaking perverse things, twisting the truth, not following the scriptures, coming with their own ideas and their own morality. False teachings. Perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. Remember that for the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn night and day every one of you with tears. Remember how important it is to know the truth, to believe the truth, to have Jesus Christ, to be committed to him, to be following Jesus. I warn you with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I commend you to God. I devote you to God. I give you to God in prayer that God would look after you, because God is the only one who can look after you. I devote you to God, who is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among the saints. Remember, I didn't covet anyone's silver and gold. I wasn't an apostle for the money I could make. I wasn't in the ministry in order to earn money. I didn't covet people's silver and gold or clothes. You know yourselves that these very hands have ministered to my necessity. I could have asked for a salary from you, but instead I worked with my own hands, making tents, so that I would not be a burden to you. I wasn't concerned about your money. That's not what I wanted. I wanted your soul's salvation. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and be patient toward all men. Support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's interesting that we have here words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are not recorded for us in the Gospels. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. We know, of course, in reality how that's true. It's more enjoyable giving a gift to somebody than receiving it. We might think, well, it's nice to get a gift. But there's more in true enjoyment in giving than in receiving. And the Christian gospel has always taught us to give, to be generous in giving. Paul was concerned to make that plain time and time again. He would say, how you must be concerned about the poor, and particularly about poor Christians, in order to provide for them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we have the final parting. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Prayer is so important. Praying to God. God is our strength. God is our help. God can deliver us. God can protect us. God answers prayer. God is mighty and powerful. He prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. There's a great love between them, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. The last time he would see these Ephesian Christians here on earth, they accompanied him down to the quay, down to the ship, kissed, parted lovingly, one from another, to meet again, hopefully, in heaven. So we have here then a challenge to the elders. Watch, be careful, there's dangers. Watch as individuals that you be not devoured by the enemy, the wolf, that you're not led astray by Satan, that you're not led astray by false teachers. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. Be steadfast, unmovable. Keep going. Watchful. Fellow Christian, take care of your soul. There's nothing more precious than your soul. Look after your soul. Remember, Satan is trying to destroy your soul. Watch over your soul. It's precious. And if you're not a committed Christian as yet, take warning. Take heed. If you die without Christ, you're lost forever. The Bible says there's two roads, the broad road to hell, and many people are on it, and the narrow road to heaven. That's what Jesus said. Strive to enter in at the narrow gate. Strive to walk along the narrow road. Make sure you have Christ. Otherwise, you're lost. Lost forever. You've been warned. And again today you're warned. Jesus is saying, come to me and be saved. He's calling to you. Come to Christ. But remember, if you don't come, there's consequences, severe consequences.